It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. This is a ministry of Torso. That's Times of Refreshing Simplicity of Eden Ministry. This is Wednesday. We recommend that you pick a day of fasting and prayer. We like to pick Wednesday. Do some fasting today, friends. Take some time away from eating as much or eating a particular meal and spend more time in prayer and spending time with God. It will do wonders, not only for your soul, but for your body. The body needs a break, even from eating. Fasting once a week, even if it's just one meal, will do wonders to keep you alive. It's I believe every time you do it, you probably add a year of life to your body. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time. She may not be available, so I'll go ahead and have our opening prayer. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this day. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for all the kindness that you've given to us and for your mercy. We ask that you bless us now as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends, it's time now for our opening song. It's about time for the coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
about time, O Christian.
topic today is how I can prove that the Bible is the truth. You know, you have different religions. We're not here to attack any religion. You have Muslims that their belief is that the Quran is the divine book and the book with all truth. And, you know, other religions have their scrolls and rolls and books and, you know, material. Why do I believe the Bible is true? Well, I'm going to take you to Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 after we have prayer. Father, bless us as we study this morning in the precious, precious name of Jesus who gave us and is called the Word. Amen. The Bible says that God authenticates himself. Now, he doesn't authenticate himself in the way that you might think. He doesn't authenticate himself because he's the one who can work miracles. That is not how he proves he's God. The devil can work miracles. The Bible says so in Revelation, I think it's 16. And he doesn't authenticate himself. That doesn't mean that he's not the great miracle worker. He doesn't authenticate himself, you know, because he made the mountains, the seas, the rivers, and the trees. The devil tries to counterfeit through magic and the occult, the creative power of God. God chooses to authenticate himself in what we're about to read. Notice what it says. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. So he declares that he's the supreme. There's no other one like him. And he declares that he is the authentic one. But then in verse 10, that was verse 9 of Isaiah 46. In verse 10, he tells us why he is the authentic one, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. My brothers and sisters, the God who can tell you at the beginning exactly what's going to happen in the end with unerring accuracy would have to be in control. And when you really think about it, that's the best way to authenticate himself, by being able to tell you at the beginning what's going to happen in the end, because that means he has all knowledge and that means he has control, because obviously the devil will try to change the future so that God would be looking bad, or God would look bad, but God doesn't allow him to. And so, my friends, prophecy, which is the foretelling of the future, is the authentication, is equivalent to the authentication of God himself. And only the Bible has given prophecy with unerring accuracy. No other book, no other religion has been able to tell us in the BCs of time what's going to happen very soon, and we're in 2023 and we're actually seeing it. Okay? So I want to take you, my friends, to the book of Daniel. And we were looking at Daniel 7, and I just want to illustrate this. We were talking about, remember, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. There would be strife and bloodshed and war and this type of thing. And we learned, of course, that the four winds can represent the Holy Spirit, but in this case, it's representing the spirit of the devil. And we took you to the book of Revelation that in the last days, as the four winds would be let go, there would be angels sent to hold them back until the servants of God were sealed in his forehead, in their forehead. So God is waiting for a people. That's you, my friend. That's you, my sister. That's you, my brother. That he's waiting for a people that will be fully surrendered to him. And when he has that number made up, my friend, he's going to let the four winds go. But those people who are fully committed to him will be able to weather the storm because they are their dependence is completely on Jesus. I want to be that way. Times are coming that are bad, friends. Very terrible times are ahead of us. But God wants a people who will weather the storm with grace and mercy and will not let their Christianity go down. I am not a politician. I will not be a Democrat. I will not be a Republican, because they do not reflect in their policies the true Christian grace of Christ. They don't. It's not good for a leader of a nation to call names and berate people on a regular daily basis. It's not good for him to do it ever. It's not good for a political party or a president to promote something unnatural, such as the unnatural coming together of genders that God did not specify. That's not a good thing, okay? And then force that upon people, force people to recognize your new made up gender, which you have to take drugs in order to try to perpetuate, which you have to have surgery in order to mutilate your body to have what looks like something that you don't have. Okay, we're forced to acknowledge that. All right, that's not freedom, friend. It's not freedom to resist a peaceful transfer of power. It's not freedom to, after taking your case to 60 different courts and they found there was no evidence of election fraud, that we continue to push a lie. That's not freedom, brothers and sisters. Neither is it freedom to kill unborn babies. So if you noticed, I was fair. I put two policies of the Democrat and two policies and practices. I will say it this way: two policies and practices of the Democrat, two policies and practices of the Republican. Jesus would not be in either party because he believed in true freedom. If Jesus wanted to do what we see being done, then he would have not even made Lucifer or made any being to have a what we would call what is properly termed free moral agency, okay? God made free moral agencies. Angels are free moral agencies. They can choose God or they cannot choose God. He made free moral agencies as human beings. We can choose God or we cannot choose God. And friends, he made many other worlds. They can choose God or they cannot choose God. And out of all that, at the beginning, there was only one rebel. Now, he led through lies a lot of others into his camp. But he didn't get the majority, okay? He didn't get the majority. And on his way down, he stopped at other planets, and they didn't let him in. But God was creating an earth, and Satan was allowed to come in, because if God's not just going to leave him floating in the universe. But if he had been resisted, all Adam and Eve had to do was just stay on God's diet. Okay, that's an interesting concept. And we would not have. Satan would have been defeated, because everybody could see, all beings could see he was lying when he told Eve what he told Eve, as he was the master ventriloquist talking through the snake. And so God chose free moral agents, friends, and God wants us to be free. And so we serve him, because he knows the end from the beginning. And so as we go to the book of Daniel, we actually see that in Daniel, after we talked about the four winds striving against the great sea, he's getting ready to describe a tumultuous situation. We learned that winds represent war and bloodshed and that type of thing when it comes from the devil, of course. And then, of course, the four winds can represent the Holy Spirit working on your heart. So you have to look at the context of which one it's talking about. It says, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. It will start telling us about these beasts. Now, I may go into that tomorrow, but what I will do is I want to take you to the fact that a beast represents a nation. It's in the same chapter, verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. We're going to be talking about Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, okay? But the fourth beast was different. Why? Because from it also came a religious power claiming to be a Christian power, and it would do a great work of destruction on this earth, friends, destroying as best it could the remnants of the truth. But God allowed the seed to still be sown, and it grew up into a great harvest called the Protestant Reformation. These beasts, brothers and sisters, are mentioned, the nations that these beasts represented are also referred to in Daniel chapter 2. It says, as Daniel was interpreting the king's vision of the statue with the head of gold, the breast and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of brass, this is what Daniel said. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold a great image. The great image whose brightness was excellent stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold. Remember, there were four beasts. That's number one. But these are metallic symbols. His breast and arms were of silver. That's the second beast, or in this case, part of the metallic image. His belly and thighs of brass. That's the third beast, or in this case, the third part of the metallic image. His legs of iron, that's the fourth part. Now remember, in the book of Daniel, in verse chapter 7, it said the fourth beast was diverse from all the other. Now this said its legs were of iron, and notice that his feet were part of iron and clay. So some extension off of this kingdom has to be connected to the feet, and it wasn't a single, no longer a single metal. It was that metal mixed with clay. And the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 18 that God is the potter and we are the clay. From whence that song comes, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. That's where that song comes from, Jeremiah 18. God is the potter, and we are his clay. So the clay represents the church. So you have the state, which was Rome, because it was Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, mentioned as a lion with eagle's wings, which we'll talk about tomorrow, but in the metallic statue, it was a head of gold, okay? Then you had Medo-Persia, which was a bear with three ribs in its mouth, which we'll talk about tomorrow, but in the metallic image, it was breasts and arms of silver. And then you had the country of Greece, which was in the Daniel 7, a leopard-like beast with four heads and four sets of wings, which we'll talk about tomorrow. But in the metallic image, it was belly and thighs of brass. And then there was Rome, which was a terrible beast. It was actually, if we had to put a name to it, it would be a dragon. It just didn't call it a dragon, but it describes a dragon, okay? Great iron teeth. Stamp the residue, big, big animal, okay? But in the metallic image, it was legs of iron. But then you had feet of iron and clay. So there's an extension off of Rome. And brothers and sisters, we know what that extension was. It was the Roman Catholic Church. So it says, thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon the feet that were of iron and clay and break them in pieces. And then it gives a description of that. So I just want you to know, we'll just give you some dates. The Babylonian Empire existed from 606 BC. BC represents the phrase before Christ. Medo-Persia existed from 536 BC until 332 BC. So when you're in the BCs of time, you count down toward 1. And then the AD, which comes from the word, I just had it, I forgot what it is. It's a word that means in Latin, the year of our Lord. Okay, Anno Domini, I think it is. Anno Domini, or Anno Domini, I think it is. That's what AD stands for. And it's around the time of the birth of Christ, around that time, okay? And so the Medo-Persian Empire existed from 536 to 332. The Greek Empire, with its four divisions, starting off with Alexander the Great, but he died because he didn't stop drinking in his early 30s, and his four generals took over, Lysimachus, Cassandra, Ptolemy, and I forget the other's name. But there were four generals that took over, and that's what this is referring to, and we'll talk about that on tomorrow. That existed from 331 to 146 BC. And then the Roman Empire, which we call pagan Rome, to differentiate it from papal Rome. Papal Rome is Roman Catholicism, okay? Yes, thank you, brother. Anno Domini. And so you have the pagan Roman Empire from 146 BC until around 538 AD. And at that time, it gave its power to the Roman Catholic Church. Remember, the fourth beast was diverse from all the others, and in the metallic image, the same material, which was iron, was also in the feet, but it had clay connected to it. And we read in, as I said, Jeremiah 18, that clay represents the church. So you had the coming together of church and state. This, which state? Rome. So what is a church that came together with the state of Rome? Brothers and sisters, explain to me why there is an American ambassador to the Vatican. There's not an American ambassador to the Baptist Church. There's not an American ambassador to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. There's no American ambassador to the Presbyterian Church. There's no American ambassador to the Pentecostal Church, the Holiness Church, the Church of God in Christ. None of them have an ambassador. Why is there one to the Vatican? Because the Pope is head of church and state. That's the feet, brothers and sisters. But feet have toes. And from there came the Protestant Reformation, divisions off of that. And it was in the days of those kings that the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Jesus is coming very soon, my friends. And so the prophecies of the Bible, how do I prove the Bible to be true? Because it gives with unerring accuracy. This happened before. Daniel was during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, but these dreams that Daniel had and Nebuchadnezzar had gave Medo-Persia, gave Greece, gave Rome, hundreds, thousands of years after their existence. And then the Bible in prophecy lets us know what that Roman Catholic Church is going to do in the future, using Protestants as its agent. It's going to bring about a law that requires worship that is in that goes against God's Ten Commandment law. That's why you see the perversion of the, and it's going to happen in America. That's what the Bible teaches, and we're already seeing it. See, the Bible says it's going to happen in America. We haven't even touched that prophecy in a little while. We'll deal with it later, but the Bible said it's going to happen in America. So what do you see happening in America? For a law that would be a religious law that would go against the law of God to be enacted in America, the Constitution would have to lose its power. So what do you see the Republicans and Democrats doing? Perverting the Constitution. That's what you see them doing. The Constitution said there should be a peaceful transfer of power. What did we see in January 6th, brothers and sisters? That was not a peaceful transfer of power. That was an attempt to usurp the government, okay? The perversion of the Constitution, it does not guarantee rights that I can have fornication with anybody I want to have fornication with, and that's a constitutionally protected right. and I can force people to comply with my demand to be a girl if I'm a boy, and they have to acknowledge that or they're violating my constitutional rights. We are perverting the very constitution that God gave this country, and that is why this country is going down. You see, brothers and sisters, people have lost sight of history. The booming economic power in the United States used to be in the South, but that booming economic power was built on the back of black slaves. Yet they had a constitution that gave all men rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Because they did not honor that constitution, and because of greed, they came up with a proposed policy that we can just say that people from Africa are three-fifths of a man or three-fifths of a woman. That's how we can justify not giving them these rights. Okay, that's what they did. They knew they were wrong. It was all about money. And you know what happened? God cursed the South. The Industrial Revolution was a phenomenon in the North, and that shifted the balance of economic power to the North, and the South has been cursed ever since. Not saying there's some wealthy people in the South, but the massive amounts of wealth in our country is not in the South, but it used to be. Okay? So if that's how God works, he said, them that honor me, I will honor. Brothers and sisters, the country that says the Constitution gives a woman the right to kill a baby when God says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet. So what right does a woman have to kill somebody that God has already determined their gender before they were even fully formed? He determined their life work before they were fully formed. It's murder, but some say we have the constitutional right to do that. The nation that does that is going down. The nation, brothers and sisters, that says if I'm a man and I want to sleep with a man, I'm going to force you and say it's my constitutional right, and you're denying my constitutional right just because you want to believe the Bible. The Bible says a man shall not lie with mankind. The Bible speaks of unnatural affection. The Bible speaks of a man leaving the natural use of a woman and going after perverted things. And so you say you have a constitutional right. So your constitutional right denies my religious right to serve my God. You see, the nation that promotes that is going down. The nation that promotes a president that can call people names and berate them on a daily basis and say sarcastic things and it be looked upon in a positive light. A nation that allows an insurrection of the sacred hall of Congress to stop the certification of the people's vote. The nation that allows that is going down, just as the nation or the region within a nation that allowed slavery lost its economic power. My brothers and sisters, the Bible says, them that honor me, I will honor. And I'm here to tell you, the people that stay with Christ, although they will be persecuted, will triumph in the end. And the people that do not stay with Christ but go after the beast and allow a religious law that determines our worship, those people will be lost. And so we just had a health crisis. What side did you take on the health crisis? You see, the Bible gives us conviction as to what we should be under conviction regarding what we put in our body. The Bible says that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So why would you want to put a trackable substance in your body? I'm not naming what that was. I'm not naming what year that was. That for all I could be speaking satirically make-believe, okay? But I'm saying, if you put something in your body that has trackable, traceable substances, if you put something in your body, you know, there's so much that's not being told, brothers and sisters. Do you know, you remember Mary Lou Retton? You remember her? A little, you know, American hero gymnast? She's fighting for her life if she's still alive. You're not hearing it on the TV. You're not hearing about it. That substance that people put in their body, friends, is killing people. There's another little boy. He was 8 years old, and they used him to say, I took my thing that he took, his shot. He took his shot. I'm not going to say when it was. I'm not going to say what it was about. I'm not going to say what disease was going around. But they used that 8-year-old boy. That 8-year-old boy had a heart attack and died. But you don't hear about it on the news. But you saw him on the news when he was happy about when they were trying to give kids the shot. Okay? I'm here to tell you, friends, the Nobel Prize was given to a couple of people who were warned that what they were studying would kill people. And yet they were given the Nobel Prize. And the number of deaths is astronomical, even in clinical trials. So, my brothers and sisters, the nation that allows that is going down. And we just don't want to go down with it. So that's why I'm not a Republican, and that's why I'm not a Democrat. Jesus wouldn't be either. He said, my kingdom is not of this world, in John 18:36, I believe. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my children fight. We're not supposed to fight like Republicans nor like Democrats. We fight the good fight of faith. The things they argue about, we have a solution for. They argue about health care. We have the live free lifestyle given to us in the Bible. LIVEFREE, live free, love God, include temperance, vital water, eat healthy, fresh air, rest, exercise, and enjoy sunlight. You add some trust in God and detoxification and a few natural remedies to that, and you have the four cornerstones of biblical wellness. That's why we've started a school called the Torso Wellness Institute. You can go to Torso Flow, just Torso, T-O-R-S-O-E, flow.org. T-O-R-S-O-E, flow.org. And we have a beautiful course. You can take it. And it's online now. It's not virtual for anybody coming in now. But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, God is moving, and there's going to be a people who need help. And it's going to get so bad as far as your religious convictions and telling and speaking your religious convictions openly that the only way you're going to be able to work is to give people literature, to reach their hearts, and to minister to their needs. That's why I'm a medical missionary, and I believe in publishing, friends, because there will come a time where we will not be able to preach the truth in any way, on the street, in your church, on the internet. But we have a little bit of time that we can say some things, and you've even seen in recent years, if you tell the truth on certain subjects, you're blacklisted. You're taken off platforms and so on and so forth. Oh, my brothers and sisters, America is in trouble, and the Bible says so. It's in Revelation 13. We don't have time to go there. We're going to go ahead and close out, and we'll be back in a little while to hear a wonderful health message from Sister Lenny, and the subject is a losing battle with appetite, a losing battle with appetite. We take about an 8-minute intermission. We listen to the Torso song, go ahead and take care of any needs that you have, get some water, whatever, and enjoy the song, and we'll be back with a health message in a little while.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know. God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. You're a up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how. You can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
this song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Sister Lenny will be sharing with us on the subject of a losing battle with appetite. Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. A losing battle with appetite. Intemperance commences at our tables in the use of unhealthful food. After a time, through continued indulgence, the digestive organs become weakened and the food taken does not satisfy the appetite. Unhealthy conditions are established, and there is a craving for more stimulating food. Tea, coffee, and flesh meats produce an immediate effect. Under the influence of these poisons, the nervous system is excited, and in some cases, for the time being, the intellect seems to be invigorated and the imagination to be more vivid. Because these stimulants produce, for the time being, such agreeable results, many conclude that they really need them and continue their use. But there is always a reaction. The nervous system, having been unduly excited, borrowed power for the present use from its future resources of strength. All this temporary invigoration of the system is followed by depression. In proportion as these stimulants temporarily invigorate the system, will be the letting down of the power of the excited organs after the stimulus has lost its force. The appetite is educated to crave something stronger, which will have a tendency to keep up and increase the agreeable excitement, until indulgence becomes habit, and there is a continual craving for stronger stimulus, tobacco, wines, and liquors. The more the appetite is indulged, the more frequent will be its demands and the more difficult of control. The more debilitated the system becomes and the less able to do without unnatural stimulus. The more the passion for these increases until the will is overborne, and there seems to be no power to deny the unnatural craving for these indulgences. The only safe course is to touch not, taste not, handle not tea, coffee, wines, tobacco, opium, and alcoholic drinks. The necessity for the men of this generation to call to their aid the power of the will, strengthened by the grace of God, in order to withstand the temptations of Satan and resist the least indulgence of perverted appetite, is twice as great as it is several generations ago. We must call on Jesus to help with our appetites, and when we do, Jesus will do just that. If we would just listen to God's leading and live the way He has already planned, there will be less sickness, less disease. This morning's health segment is coming from Counsels on Diet and Foods, page 427 to 428. May God be with you today and guide you today. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you too. Friends, I want to mention that in the potentially near future, that was a beautiful message, Sister Lenny. We appreciate that. We're going to probably have to move to a different platform, but it will be a platform where all of the audio is kind of coming through some of the same channel. In other words, right now we're taking the phone and letting the phone go to Facebook. But the bottom line is I believe it will improve our program. And we'll be able to also be on YouTube at the same time. That's where we're headed. So you would probably, when that happens, I'm just kind of preparing your mind, you can still just be on a phone call, even if we go to Zoom. You don't have to be on a camera. You can be on a phone call, but it would be able to go to Facebook and YouTube at the same time. So that's where we're headed. By God's grace, you pray for us. We're coming into the fall. You know, we start thinking about the new year. It may be something we do in the new year or late in this year. It's sharing and caring time. And we have on the Facebook, we have Sister Vicky saying good morning to us out of Georgia. We have Brother Peyton saying good morning to us out of North Carolina. We have Sister Angela out of South Carolina. We have Sister Glorious out of Virginia saying good morning to all. We have, I'm not sure where my dear sister is from. I knew the family from Wisconsin. I'm assuming she's in Wisconsin. Sister Renee, not sure where my brother Kennedy is from, but God bless you. He helped me out with the Anno Domini understanding of what AD represents. On the call, we have represented the following dates. We have Ohio again. We have Alabama. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Alabama, I believe, again. We have Oklahoma, and we have Michigan and Georgia. The phone lines are open. Press star 6 if you'd like to share anything with us at this time. I want to mention that we are in a wellness retreat, and so we're doing our very best. I know I haven't gotten the last for those in the school. We should be putting that up today, hopefully the both the presentation and the quiz from last Sunday. So thank you for bearing with us. The school is going well, friends. We had to be fast-tracked into some things, and there's some glitches that we're working out. But once they're all worked out by the grace of God, it will be a beautiful thing. So we thank God for that. All right. There is no one else. There's no one, I should say, in the queue. So let's go ahead and have our closing prayer. If my wife is available, she will. She's with us, but she's also in a situation where she's ministering. We have ladies here in the wellness retreat. So if she's not available, I'll go ahead and have closing prayer. We'll see in just a moment. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day. We thank you for the love you have for us. We thank you for your kindness and grace. We thank you that we can win the battle over appetite, although we've been told it's harder now. But we have a God who is stronger now and who is sending his, not stronger, he's always been strong, but we have all the strength that we need if we would trust him and depend on him. But we do see that Satan, through various means, drugs and additives in the foods and various other unfair and toxic ways, has increased the urges for depraved appetite. Father, we ask that you would bless us to remember that you are in control of the world affairs, and that those who honor you will be honored. We ask that you will bless us as we, in this broadcast, we want to remember all who have loved ones who have passed all who are sick and have those they're ministering to who are sick, those who are incarcerated or in jail in one way or another, in bondage. We ask for help in families that have been torn apart in various ways, in marriages that are in trouble. We ask, Father, that you would help us, that we will be found faithful and always do that which pleases you. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen, friends. God is good. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecution. And in the world to come, eternal life. Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us, now undreamed of. Happy Wednesday. God bless you. This is the day of fasting and prayer for Torso. Join us in that, friends. Maybe eat less. Maybe skip a meal. Maybe eat all raw. You might want to fast the whole day. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart. But some form of self-denial is very good for your Christian walk, because that's what we'll have to do in these last days, deny self. And we will have to do that by spending time with God. So it gives us more time to spend with God. So it's good to fast one day a week. All right. God bless you. It's time for our closing song. I will trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die.
I will love.